My first guest in this edition is J.D. Foster, Senior Fellow in Economics at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We've asked him to offer some of his advice on why we've seen two very down days on Wall Street since the election, and what we can expect from Senator Obama in terms of economic policy, and how investors may react to those changes. And J.D., it's always great to have you with us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Obviously, there are many factors that drive a given performance in the stock market day to day, and we've certainly seen plenty of large down days in the past few weeks, but we had seen a relatively decent rally over the few days, even through Election Day. Now, two consecutive multi-hundred-point drops. How should we read that?
Well, they have been large drops, but in recent experience, it's almost just another day at the office. We're getting used to very large swings in the market, as used to such things as one can get. It's hard to pinpoint any particular factor driving this. The one thing that does seem to be taking place is November 15th is another redemption deadline point for a lot of hedge funds. And hedge funds are, as an industry, in the process of contracting dramatically. And when they contract, that just means they have to sell what they've got and get whatever they can get. So you've got a lot of people selling into the market at a time when they can't be too concerned about the prices they're getting. And when you're in that sort of situation and a lot of it happening, you get a lot more downward pressure. And once we're past that short period and the market should recover as people are doing some serious value hunting and finding an awful lot of good companies being sold pretty cheap.
One of the things we're also hearing about is really bad retail reports from October, perhaps the worst in about a 25 years here. What's driving that?
Well, we had a lot of things, but the consumers are nervous. They keep hearing about all the trouble in the economy, and the economy is definitely troubled. They look at what's happening with housing prices. They look at what's happening with financial markets. And at the same time, you've got a credit crunch going along so that even consumers who want to buy and would normally be able to get credit for their purchases, in particular car sales, they're having a lot of trouble getting that. And if you're going to go buy a car and you can't finance it, most people don't buy their cars for cash, and that puts a real crimp in car sales. So there are a lot of factors feeding into it, but right now, as bad as these numbers are, they're not really out of the range of what was expected.
J.D., we're also awaiting a report tomorrow on jobs, and every jobs report this year has been in the negative territory. What are the expectations, as far as you know, tomorrow, and how could another significant drop in jobs impact the mood of investors and Wall Street as a whole?
Well, the market, I'm pretty sure, is expecting a pretty big drop in employment if for October. The general expectation is the credit crunch is hitting hardest in the September, October, and perhaps November period, and so that should produce a pretty sizable job loss figure. But there's a big difference between a $100,000 job loss figure and something north of 350 or 400. And that's really the question as we think about the economy going forward. We know we have this credit crunch going on. We also know that we're seeing signs that the credit crunch is resolving itself and credit is beginning to flow a bit more normally, and that should continue. If that happens quickly enough, then the downturn becomes more contained and we get to recovery sooner. If the credit crunch continues a bit longer and employers start having to let workers go in large numbers, we get what you might think of as a negative feedback loop in the economy, where the credit crunch is the initial shock, and then you get an employment shock, and that would really prolong the recession and delay the recovery.
And talk in a little more detail, if you can, J.D., about how a credit crunch affects businesses to the point where they need to let people go in relatively big numbers.
Well, if the credit crunch is causing a significant drop in sales or causing the inability of companies to buy and hold inventory, inability to make investments, a general downturn in the economy, and employers are thinking that this might continue for an extended period, then they're more inclined to say, well, we're just going to have to let a larger number of workers go. If they think the recovery is around the bend and not too far off, then they will try to hold on to those workers longer Hiring and firing workers is an expensive undertaking for any employer, especially when you've got good employees. You want to try to hold on to them if you can. If you think a recovery is coming soon because the credit crunch is going to end soon, then you hold on to those employees. But if you think it's going to be 6 months or 9 months or 12 months before you're really going to have a turnaround in your own business, you can't hold some of those employees. You have to let them go. And if you have that on a wide scale across the economy, that then creates the self-fulfilling prophecy of additional job loss, additional income that's not earned. That means a further drop in consumption, and the recession continues longer.
Let's turn on to the political side of things now, J.D. And, of course, investors are forward-looking folks, and that's how they make their projections and their buys and sells and that sort of thing. We know that Barack Obama has promised tax increases for those making ahead of $250,000 a year, and some businesses fall into that. He's also promised at least a modest increase in capital gains taxes. Is that registering in the minds of investors, or will that not really be a factor unless he actually implements that?
Oh, I have to assume that the markets take President-elect Obama at his word, especially as he has a highly compliant Congress for those kinds of policies. I think the market right now is probably more worried about things that are happening right now, and that is the recession and its effect on earnings, than it is tax policies that will be put in place at some point in the near future, but may not be in effect for 2009, may not be in effect for 2010. We don't know when these policies would actually take effect. And so the market knows these tax increases are coming. It has some sense of the consequences for asset values. What it doesn't know is the timing. And given all the other things the market is dealing with right now, that's probably not a driving force.
In terms of what you at the Heritage Foundation believe would be the smart way to attack this recession, we've seen the Bush administration reaction with the bailout plan and Congress going along with that. What would you recommend the new president do in 75 days when he takes office in order to steer the economic ship in the right direction?
Well, the first thing you have to do is address the credit crunch, and the government has done just about everything imaginable to do that, between monetary policy and fiscal policy and the TARP program through the Treasury. An awful lot is being done, but it's like administering medicine to a patient. Sometimes you have to take a step back and let the medicine work. You can't keep changing medicines and pumping more medicines in. We're at a point now where it's time to take a step back and let the measures to address the credit crunch work. The other things that you can do to address the economy is a very simple one. Reduce marginal tax rates. Increasing spending at this point is almost laughable as a solution. We're looking at a budget deficit in 2009 upwards of $1 trillion. If you believe in Keynesian economics and fiscal stimulus spending, which I don't, but if you do believe in it, you'd have to assume that $1 trillion of budget deficit is sufficient stimulus for it to work. So more spending is not the answer. If you're going to do something, it needs to be some improving the incentives to work and improve the incentives to invest. And that means reducing, not raising, tax rates, as particularly capital gains, dividends, and the income tax rates.
How big of an impact did that make in 2003 when we were trying to recover from another economic stumbling block? And what kind of reductions would you recommend if that were to even be entertained by the new administration?
Well, it is very clear that when the tax cuts enacted in 2001 and delayed were finally made effective in 2003, along with the dividend and capital gains tax, that's when the economy took over. And it's a simple fact. That's what the data tells us. And it is what you would expect, that reducing tax rates would cause the economy to improve when it's in a position to do so. And so I would be looking in particular under the circumstances to maintain the dividend and capital gains tax rates, make them permanent. That would be very important to the market, and to reduce the corporate tax rate. That's the one tax rate that we have not reduced of late. Bring that down and bring individual income tax rates down further to the extent we can, and the Congress is willing. Those are the kinds of policies, improving the economic climate in the United States, improving the returns to work and investment, that would get the economy moving forward again. Now, the effect wouldn't be instantaneous. None of these measures are going to suddenly flip on a switch and say the economy is now great. But they're the kind of things that you can do to turn it around sooner and also mean that the economy will be stronger for years to come.
Just a minute left in our conversation here, JD. Anything else you've heard from Senator Obama that you believe would be an excellent or a poor idea to move forward on right now with the state of the economy the way it is?
A lot of his policies involving enormous increases in spending just don't make any sense from a fiscal standpoint, especially when we're looking at unfunded promises in Social Security and Medicare that are in the tens of trillions of dollars already. That's where we should focus. That's where we should put our attention. You can choose between Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid as to which to address first, but that is where our long-term problem lies, and that's what the incoming president should focus on.
J.D., unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, thanks so much for your time and your analysis.
Okay, thank you.
J.D. Foster, Senior Fellow in Economics at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington.